Welcome to the Bunker Hill Cheesecast, brought to you by Heine's Cheese Chalet, a little place with big taste. I'm Missy Horsfall, Director of Tourism Relations. There is no question that the men and women who settled in this rural area known as Ohio's Amish country left their mark on the preceding generations. Webster's Dictionary defines heritage as something transmitted or acquired from a predecessor, a legacy, or an inheritance. Something possessed as a result of one's natural situation or birth, a birthright. And while those things are true here as well as elsewhere for those who can trace their ancestors back generations that lived here, there is something to be said for a community heritage, a legacy that lives on and inspires those who may not have the blood lineage, but have inherited the gift and blessings of a solid foundation. Hard work, generosity, honesty, all these characteristics of the beliefs of those who began here are still prevalent today, found in the DNA, so to speak, of this area. Faith, family, and community are the bedrock of the Amish culture, and also those who grew up here or chose to live here. While the Amish culture may be isolated from the outside world, there is no isolation from each other, and the example of living in community has left an inheritance to the surrounding areas. It is present everywhere if you're looking for it, but it is especially noticeable when you look at nonprofits and community endeavors to help others. All give, all receive, everyone benefits, including visitors to the area. On this podcast, we talk a lot about the uniqueness of homes and surrounding counties, the pace of life that causes us to stop and chat with our neighbors or even people we meet on the street, the peace and tranquility those who live and visit find here. It's not a way of life for everyone. Some love the bustle and excitement of the city, but everyone needs a respite now and then, and we offer that here. I believe it is due to this very thing called heritage or legacy, and no one knows this better than my guest today, Joanne Schrock-Hirschberger, owner of Schrock's Heritage Village. Welcome, Joanne, and thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Well, thank you, Missy. It's so nice to be here. I love tourism, so I'm very excited about
all this. You are my perfect guest, yes, but for a couple of reasons. Number one, you have long been in the tourism business in this area. You are native to the area, and you do have this long heritage and lineage in your own personal family life.
I do, and you know, I love to travel, and I love to be a tourist, and I love the idea that I live in a community that tourists want to visit, and I'm proud of my heritage. I'm thankful for my heritage because there's so many good things, just as you said in your opening monologue, there's so many good things in this community and the principles that we were raised on, the things that we're taught as a part of life. I always assumed everybody is taught those things, but I have learned through life that not everybody is taught those things, and we just kind of take it for granted.
Oh, I think that's true. Absolutely. Yeah. And when you move in from the outside or you visit, sometimes that's a startling contrast if you've been in other areas where not everybody is honest.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things that is very noticeable to people who've not been here before is they'd come to the area and they see many items sitting outside of people's buildings that are not chained down. You know, they're out there 24/7, and they're just amazed that it doesn't just get carried off.
Exactly.
You know, in the cities, it would get carried off in the middle of the day, you know, and so they come here and they see this, and that automatically tells them something is different here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do believe that's true. And I think it is those principles that the people who live here have been taught, many of them, or they agree with those principles. So living in this area is meaningful to them. And so they adhere to those kind of in a natural way of living and sense of life. This is how I want to live my life. This is how I want to teach my children. This is where I want to be because this
makes
sense.
Also think a lot of the people who visit here would like to live like that. That's why they like to visit here, because to them, this looks like the ideal way to live. But so many people that come from the cities are used to the hustle and bustle of the cities with lots of activity and lots of things you can do to stay entertained. Where here, when you live here, you learn to be content to be at home and to work outside and to spend time with your family. You're not going to shows. You're not doing all kinds of other things for entertainment. Your family and your home life is your entertainment.
And that changes the pace of life.
It does,
obviously.
Very much so.
You know, let's talk a little bit about your history here, because it wasn't always that we had that many tourists here. I think we've always been this kind of an area, but people haven't always known about it. Right. But that has grown over the years.
It has. I remember a story my dad used to say. He had a little gas station in town, and this was back in the days when Berlin was a sleepy town. There was nothing going on. I mean, there was no tourism. There was nothing going on. So he was working at this garage, and it was right on the corner of 62 and 39, right where the little intersection is here in town, and where Summers is right now. That used to be a gas station that my dad owned. And one day he didn't have a lot of work. And so he was kind of bored. So he got himself a bucket, turned it upside down, sat outside and watched the traffic. In an afternoon, while he was sitting there, he counted the cars going through the intersection. And there were 12.
Oh, my goodness.
But my father was very much a believer that tourism was coming to this area. And I remember back in the days when there was a little restaurant in town called the Berlin House. And the Berlin House started giving hay rides. And it was right across the street from my dad's garage. And so they would get my dad to drive the tractor and talk to the people while he drove them around
the
on a hay wagon.
The first tour right there.
Yes. And then there was an Amish lady on out the road on 39 that started feeding groups in her home. And I remember being in high school. And the property that now I now own is right across from the high school. And I remember at the time that I was in high school, this will tell my age, but back in the early 70s, someone bought that farm. It was an Amish home. And somebody bought that farm and opened it for tourism. And I remember being on the school bus coming home from school thinking that is the dumbest idea I've ever heard of. Who cares about learning about the Amish? I mean, it just didn't seem possible that anybody would care. I mean, was this not normal everywhere? You know, so it was mind-boggling for me to see that anybody would come for these types of things.
Yeah, what's familiar to you seems kind of like, oh, that's...
Exactly. Yes.
Everybody should be familiar with
it. Yes, yes. And yeah. I think we do that no matter where we're from.
Oh, that is so true. Yeah. And honestly, as you visit other places, I know for me as a tourist, I know people, they see this every day. They don't see how awesome it is. But the same thing is true for us here. The same thing is true wherever you live.
It's so true. And it's like I said earlier, I love to travel. My husband and I, we love to travel. We love to travel anywhere in any form. I mean, we will fly, we will cruise, we will motorhome, we'll do whatever. We love to travel. And so I am honored that I feel honored that I live in a community where so many people want to come and experience a different way of life. And when I travel, I want to experience their way of life.
Exactly.
You know, I want to learn something about that community. I want to learn something about where I'm going. And so for people to be able to come in here and experience what we have every day and hopefully take something good home with them, just in a memory or something, you know, maybe something ministered to them while they were here, they didn't really catch it, but later they think of it. They think, you know, certain things about the community that they wish were part of their community and how could they instill that in their community? But it all starts with ourselves. You know, we are the ones that have to make the change in order to make a change in others.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, when you see those things and you want to do something about it, then you start with yourself. But I love tourism. I love the tourists. I enjoy talking to the people and they come from all over the world. We have Tis the Season Christmas shop out at Schrock's Heritage Village. And so we get people from all over the world in there and in all of our businesses there. I mean, there's just, it's amazing to me. We used to have, when we first bought the property, we did home tours. And so we always had a guest book that people could sign. And then we would look how many different countries were there that year, how many different states were there that year. And it was always so interesting because they were from everywhere.
Well, it is fascinating for people, as you said. And so I'm sure that people ask, okay, what's unusual? What can I see that's different? And certainly the Amish community, and especially as the years have passed, I mean, back in the early 50s, it wasn't that unusual if people didn't
electricity. Everybody lived like that.
Right. Yeah. But as technology has grown and they have continued in their way of life, it's become more prominent to see the differences, what they're focusing on and how they are prioritizing their lives.
Right.
You know, they focus on what's important to them and then what's a distraction, what will draw them away.
And I think when you look at the things that are important to them, you know, it is the community, it's the church, it's the family. Everybody really wants that, but not everybody realizes that's what's missing. You know, it's like we are created for family. We're created for relationship. We're created for community. And, you know, when we don't have that, there's something missing in our lives. And so it's wonderful to live in a community where people know each other. And, you know, it's not quite like it was back in the 50s and 60s where you would take a walk down the street and end up sitting on somebody's porch drinking lemonade.
Right.
You know, but you are acquainted with your neighbors. You do know who your neighbors are. And you care about each other. And the other thing, too, that you mentioned earlier is that, you know, we have all these fundraisers. People are doing things for each other. It's a benefit for whoever is in need. And it's a benefit to the community because they're working together for a goal.
Yes.
They're doing something to help somebody else. And then it's a benefit for the tourist who comes and enjoys the atmosphere of that benefit auction or whatever it is.
Exactly.
So it's a good thing for everybody.
Oh, I totally agree. Let's talk a little bit about Shrox Heritage
Sure.
Village and how you and your dad, basically, your dad is gone now, but he was the one that sort of got you into the business there, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Before we had that, we actually owned a local restaurant and a hotel, and I buried myself. That was my first job. After my kids went back to school, I went in and I worked at our restaurant and hotel, and I made a lot of mistakes back then. And I can look back and say, I wish I'd have done it differently, but you know, you can't do that.
Yes, we learn.
But I buried myself in my work and I neglected my family. And so we had consequences because of those decisions. And when my father bought this property, it was a 50-acre farm, and he asked if I would like to go out and work there instead. My comment to him was, if I can take my children along. Because I was tired of not being around my children. Mm-hmm. I was tired of my children raising themselves. And I had only been in the restaurant for 2 or 3 years, but I needed to make that change. So I went to that property. And at that time, we gave buggy rides. We did home tours. There was a wood shop there and a little leather shop. And then we built a big building and had like a home decor store. That was my first experience with retail. And but my kids came along to work. You know, my youngest daughter, she was in the barn playing with the animals all day long. I mean, we had lots of animals, and just it was a good place for them. Mm-hmm. And I was more connected to my children. But over time, a lot of things changed. We bought a neighboring property that was another 5 acres. And on that property, we developed an antique mall and a craft mall where we're selling things for other people. You know, we have 100 antiquers who bring in their antiques and we sell them for them. Same with our craft mall. And so there's all kinds of things from throughout Ohio and surrounding states that people are making and bringing in and selling through our craft mall. And then the other business that we actually run and own on that property is the Christmas store, which was also, to me, the Christmas store is probably the biggest miracle there. Back 25 years ago, in September, it'll be 25 years that we opened that store. And 25 years ago, there were no tourists in Holmes County after October. It ended. Tourism was April through October, and then you were off November until April. And I remember when I first thought about opening a Christmas store, I questioned, could it work in Amish country? There's no people here. You know, could that work? And I couldn't decide. And then I thought about it, and I thought, well, I have this huge round building on the property. What do you do with this huge round building that we bought that's sitting here empty? And I could never think of the right thing to put in it. And when I started thinking Christmas, I thought, well, that could make an interesting Christmas store. But I just couldn't quite fathom spending that much money for a product to fill a building that size. So there was a traveling Christmas show that you could go to do your buying at that time. But you had to commit to spending a certain dollar amount, which I had never spent. It was a bigger number than I could picture that I would ever spend on product. And I just was nervous about it, and I couldn't decide. But you had to commit to this in order to be invited to this show. So I was talking about it at the office, and my secretary said, why don't you ask God what he thinks about this idea? If God's in it, then you should go. And I said, okay. And she said, well, why don't you ask him to give you a sign if this is the right thing to do? So I said, okay. I said, what kind of a sign should I ask for? And she said, how about a rainbow? And I looked at her, and I said, it's January, and it's Ohio. We don't have rainbows in Ohio in January. And she said, that would make a perfect sign. Mm. So I said, okay, we'll ask God for a rainbow. I had less than a week to make my commitment to this buying group. And just a day or two after this, I was in Canton. I was driving home from Canton. My daughter was sleeping in the car. And all of a sudden, there's this huge rainbow in the sky. And I'm just stunned by what I see. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it's a real rainbow. I really see a rainbow. And I tried to wake up my daughter because I needed a witness. You know, I wanted somebody to see this. It's not just a figment of my imagination. But, you know, it was the days before cell phones. You couldn't take a picture of it.
Right.
But I knew what I saw, and she didn't care. She didn't wake up to look at the rainbow. But that night on the evening news, the weatherman talked about the unusual rainbow that was in the sky that day.
Oh, my.
So I called and signed up, and we went. And life has not been the same. People say, don't you get tired of Christmas? I get excited about Christmas. It lights a fire in me.
It is an amazing store, absolutely.
Well, and the vision of the layout and how that thing is built on the inside was God-given. You know, I walked into a big round building. It's 80 feet in diameter. It was all one room, and it was not finished. It had a cement floor, block walls. There was insulation in the ceiling, but no drywall. It was just a huge, empty room. And I walked into that building, and I was like, okay, God, if you're in this, how is this going to look? Mm-hmm. How do you take this building and make it? And God showed me a picture of what the finished store would look like. And I got some carpenters to come in, and I told them what I wanted to do, and they looked at me like I was crazy. And they could not get the vision. So I took chalk, literally took chalk, and drew it out on the floor. And I said, build a loft. I want it out to here. This is what I want done. When you have that done, I'll come show you what to do next. And then I drew chalk lines on the floor and I said, I want a log cabin. I want real logs. I want a fireplace over here. I want a doorway here and a window here. But one by one, I just went through and I built chalk lines and had them build what I wanted. And eventually they got the dream.
Yeah.
And then they became creative in finishing it. And so the night that we opened, I walked into the middle of the vision I had seen. And I knew this was exactly what I had seen.
That's crazy.
And it's been a fun business. Absolutely love it.
And the fact is that it's a year-round Christmas shop that really does sell Christmas year-round.
Yeah, absolutely. So. We do sell. I just had somebody yesterday say, do you really sell Christmas this time of the year? And I said, yeah, people who love Christmas whether it's Christmas or not.
Well, and you think about when you're touring somewhere or going somewhere, oh, there's a Christmas shop. It reminds you, hey, I've been meaning to look for.
Right. Well, and a lot of people will come in to buy something as a souvenir.
Oh, that's a great idea.
They want an ornament from there.
Yeah.
You know, so we carry local made ornaments and things like that. So, yeah.
It's a beautiful shop. So, yeah. And the property, now you have, as you said, these businesses that are yours and you operate, but you've also a partner with other people. So there's other
a variety.
Shops. Yes.
We have a number of buildings there that are rented out. We have someone who has a leather shop, wonderful leather shop, all kinds of things, Western wear, boots, just all kinds of things that would relate to that. Then we have a pet shop with adorable puppies that I have a hard time keeping my secretaries away from. And then we also have a store called Plaid Sheep, and it is a fabric store. They do a lot of wool. They do a lot of classes, online things. We have Streb's General Store, which is one of the newer stores, and she does all kinds of general store things. It's just a variety of all kinds of things. Mm. Old World Bakery and Bistro is there, so we have a little restaurant on the property. Then we also have a guest house. Schrock's Guest House sleeps up to 6 people. That is available on the property. And then I sold some land off of the original farm. I sold about 8.5 acres to the Encore, the Amish Country Theater. So they are now at our location.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so we have the theater there. We have a hotel there. They have an entertainment center or an event center there. So there's lots of activity there. And then just this past winter, I sold another 2 acres off of the property for a miniature golf course.
Oh, my.
And both of these are things that my father would have loved to have. You know, these are things he talked about in his lifetime, that his goal was to have a theater. And it was exactly the kind of theater that we now have. It was the same style of theater, same style of entertainment he wanted. And he was always a fan of the idea of a miniature golf course. So, you know, a lot of things have just worked out, and we have worked very hard to make sure that every business on the property is unique and different from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody comes and they park their car and they take time, they're not going to feel like they've walked into this store and saw the same stuff across the street.
Glenn.
Every shop is different. Every shop is unique. And we've worked really hard at keeping it that way.
Mm. And it is an amazing property. And the stores in it are pretty incredible. I've been to most of them, and I've discovered, you know, as a local, you know what you do. I need to go in there. I need to go in there. And one day I did stop into one that I hadn't been in, and I thought, okay, now I need to go to all the rest that I haven't seen.
They're amazing. I'm glad you did.
Yeah. It's a great property. And as you said, you can go park your car and spend quite a bit of time there. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about, and maybe go back in time a little bit, is I know that you and your dad did tours. You talked about your dad doing a hayride and sort of giving a tour of the area. But you actually had, I don't know if you had a tour company, but you and your dad gave tours on a bus.
Yes. I actually had a company called Amish Heritage Tours. And I did travel with bus tours for 20 years. I was a step-on guide, sometimes for a half a day, sometimes for 3 or 4 days. So I have many, many stories. I can keep you entertained for several days if
that's
I need
awesome.
To.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But I love that. And that's where I fell in love with senior citizens, because the bus tours were senior citizens. I just enjoyed being around them. I mean, I made a connection with those people. I often think back to those days. And it was a job I enjoyed, but I did that on top of some of the other things. But it was before the Christmas store. I think we started the Christmas store, and then soon after that, I actually gave that company to one of my tour guides that was working for me. So he still has that going. But I did enjoy that a lot. Now, my dad and I did tours for international people.
Oh, I see.
And basically, he was the founder of LARED, which is a principle-based organization that teaches principles, basically the principles we were raised on here. Mm-hmm. They're biblical principles on honesty, dependability, hard work, those types of things. And so this program is worldwide. And so while he was still living, people would come in to be taught the program. And then he and I would get on a bus and we'd take them on a tour and show them where he grew up, where he went to school, and talk about his life as a little Amish kid and how he got to the point where he is or where he was.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they found it very fascinating.
Oh, they did. They were amazed. And they came from all over the world.
Yeah. The local stories, the local things to see, and having somebody who is local who knows that, that's a pretty amazing tour.
Well, and it's fun. I mean, it's being a tour guide on those buses is where I learned to appreciate our community. So I started talking about our community, and then I started talking about how beautiful it is. And we would stop out on the ridge up along Cherry Ridge School. We'd stop up there along the ridge and let the people get off the bus and walk out and just look at the scenery. It was just amazing scenery. There's an area there where there is no electricity. So you get out there into this rural area where there's no utility lines. There's no signs. There's nothing to clutter the view. You see these little farms dotting all over the hillsides. It's absolutely gorgeous and so peaceful. And the tourists helped me to learn to appreciate what's here. Mm.
That is one thing that I appreciate about the visitors and tourists who come here, because I do think they've helped me kind of realize and recognize where I live and how beautiful it is and how wonderful it is and how privileged we are to be here.
Absolutely.
Those are things that I saw maybe at the very beginning because I came in from the outside, but like anyone else,
you get used to it.
You get used to it. It's familiar. Mm-hmm. And taking the time to stop and appreciate that.
And for me, one of the things that we talk about when we travel, like we'll go to Tennessee almost every year, and you know, we're always looking for bears, you know. And then we act just like the tourists do here when they see a buggy.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you want to drive behind the buggy as long as you can. Well, really? You know, so.
Not when you have a local behind you saying, get around the buggy.
And that's something, too, that I think, and probably something I think that we need in this community is someone to teach the locals how valuable tourism is here.
Yes. Yes.
You know, because sometimes people tend to think they don't benefit from tourism, but they all benefit from tourism.
Absolutely.
Everybody who lives here benefits from tourism, whether they believe it or not, they do. Because of tourists, I have a paycheck. Because of a paycheck, I can go out to eat at someone's restaurant. I can go to Heine's and buy cheese.
Exactly.
I can build a new house. I can do things that will affect people that are not at all involved in tourism.
Exactly.
And so to learn to appreciate the people that come here. I am so thankful for the people who come here. You know, and I'll say this directly to anybody who's listening. If you visit our area, I say thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming. I value you as customers, as visitors. I am so glad that you come. It means the world to me that our community has something to offer that you want to come and see.
And to be able to share that with someone else.
Yes.
And in sharing that, as you said, like with your tours, to then again appreciate what we have and what we've been given here
Absolutely.
In the community.
Absolutely. Yeah. We are so very blessed.
Yeah, for sure. I find it fascinating because I feel like your dad is one of the innovators, some of the other businesses as well that I've talked to, that generation who had the vision and foresight to say, people are going to come here one day, and to begin to put in place some things for that to happen. I know even for our business at Heine's, Pete Dawalder was one of those men who kind of had a vision.
Yes.
in the spirit in this area to kind of think beyond today and to kind of see what's
and
going
I miss those people. Mm. You know, I look back at the people who were the foundation of our community when I was growing up, and I miss those people. I mean, there's a lot of people that meant a lot to me that I looked up to, and it's hard for me to fathom that I am now at the age where somebody would say I'm a pillar of the community. Mm. That's almost overwhelming. That's way more responsibility than I want.
I'm not that old yet. I'm still that kid that's looking to.
I'm feeling like I'm still that kid, and I'm like a little alarmed by that whole idea.
Yeah. But absolutely, that is one of the things I think that makes the solid foundation of the community. Mm-hmm. To have those pillars, and then you build on that, and then, you know, the people that are here now, we're building on top of that. And the foundation is solid. I think in this area, it's a very solid, stable community. As we've seen, even through the pandemic, when places have been kind of, it's been very difficult, and we've been very blessed that we have. It's not that trouble hasn't come or we haven't seen trouble, but the foundation that's
here. The foundation is here. And I think because of that foundation, the average person who lives here chooses not to live in fear. And when you don't live in fear, it makes a big difference how you live.
Exactly.
It makes a big difference how you live.
Well, and I think you're more able to welcome people coming in. You're mm-hmm. more able to enjoy and appreciate people who are different than you, because we live in a community that's very different from one another.
Right.
When you look at the English and Amish, we don't live the same at all. And yet we live in community with one another. We work together. We fellowship together. We eat together. We do all those things
And we're
together.
Family. And I have many Amish relatives. You know, we come from the Amish, and my husband's family is Amish, and I mean, it's part of who we are. I value that a lot.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you being on the podcast, because I think it is one of the treasures of the community. So once again, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've thoroughly enjoyed
it. Well, I might have you back to tell some more stories. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks again, Joanne.
Thank you, Missy.
And now it's time for Did You Know? Did you know that checking a phone listing for a John Miller in our community may lead to as many as 40 different John Millers? In the Amish community, many people have the same name. Yoders, Millers, Schrocks, Hirschbergers, Troyers, and many more depending on where the Amish settlement is. In the early days, many Amish used biblical names for their children, such as John, James, Andrew, or maybe Mary, Ruth, Sarah, and often named their children after someone in the family, thus leading to identical names in the community. Further complicating this is the fact that a middle name is seldom given to Amish children. They are usually given a middle initial, generally the first initial of their father's name, to help distinguish between family and other members of the community. So John Miller's son would be John J. Miller. Another way to distinguish from all the identical names is to list the father and grandfather's names generationally. John's Eli's John. Or sometimes nicknames are given by their occupation, Apple Butter John or Shop Noah. So listen carefully to the locals, and you may learn more about people than you realize. And now you know.